Yo, 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 what up? This is For the Culture, where we explore, expose, and celebrate all that is hip-hop. I'm your host, Sarah Rosenberg, aka Redhead Shoddy. Before we start, just a disclaimer that For the Culture will include some instances of profanity. And now that we have that out of the way, let's get this thing poppin'. Oh, and stay tuned for the end for the big announcement. Battle rap has always held an important place in hip-hop culture. Those shows like Drop the Mic on TNT and Wildin' Out on MTV include many elements of battle rap. For many in the culture, it does not compare to the underground battle rap scene. In an op-ed published on DJBooth.com highlighting the importance of battle rap, Matt Wilhite wrote, and I quote, "These battles, as well as the battlers, provide an even more fully realized culture, an expanded universe of interpersonal conflicts, petty beef, career marks, and memorable moments so detailed they could rival Marvel and DC. Almost every battler has a distinct narrative attached to their battling career, breathing life into every battle won and looming over every loss. From East Coast gun rhyme legends like Loaded Lux and Hollow Da Dawn to wordplay machines on the West Coast like Thesaurus, Disaster, and Nokando, to the hilariously insane Tiger Tai, Daylight, and Carter Deems, there is rarely a shortage of personalities for fans to find their favorite style. Each battler, no matter how villainous or corny, contributes a stroke to the greater portrait being painted." Unquote. Today's guest is a battle rap champion, winner of many awards for battle rapping and freestyling back in the 90s. He's a recording artist who has worked with producers like Dr. Dre and Norman Whitfield Sr. He is also one half of the infamous ghostwriting team, the Kingpens, also known as Hits Over Here, or H.O.H., and one third of the hip-hop group Royal Flush Club. So let's all welcome Supreming to the show.
In the building.
In the building.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so how did you first get into hip-hop?
I think I got into it how most hip-hoppers get into it, for the love of the music. Had my favorite artists from back in the day that kind of inspired me to want to be just like them.
So can you name some of those artists?
Oh, man. You're talking about old school now. I realize we're in that age, but most of the artists that got me motivated were like the early ones. The Kool Herc started hip hop, over to Grandmaster Flash,
Daddy Kane.
Daddy Kane came later. Big Daddy was definitely an influence in the 80s. But the first off that got me started was like the Curtis Blows, even the Cold Crush Brothers. Those were like the staples that got me going early.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes.
Those are legends.
Yes, they are. Foundation.
According to your online bio, you started rapping at the age of 9.
Yes. I started in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My mother's from Philadelphia, so I was obviously born and raised in Los Angeles. When they took me out to Philly, my uncle had his best friend, John Seals, took me across the street, and John rapped about me from the head to the toe. And after that, I was lit. I walked across the street and wrote my first rhyme. Been an MC ever since.
That's great. But again, you were 9. What do you rap about at 9?
Well, the rhyme I wrote at 9 was actually my first demo that I recorded at 13, and it was called "I'm Deaf, Doing Everything Funky Fresh." Was the first rhyme I ever wrote at 9 years old.
I would imagine 9-year-olds are writing more about their popsicle sticks than what you hear on the radios from 9-year-olds, which is boop butts.
Most definitely. And you got to think, it depends on your upbringing. A lot of 9-year-olds are very intelligent in regards to literature and history. You know, I went to a magnet school growing up, so we got exposed to a lot of those things early on, and it was able to reflect in the things I thought about to rap about.
Okay, so none of like the boobs and the butts.
Well, you know, that didn't really happen till our era nowadays. You know what I mean? That wasn't the original theme of rappers back in the day. You know what I mean? Boobs and butts. I'm sure they thought about it, but they didn't think to make songs about it. You know what I mean?
Okay, I feel bad.
No, you're good.
I feel bad for the kids today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're just getting really 20% of really what hip hop is. You know what I mean? So they're doing a great job just off of the little bit that they're being fed, I think.
That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
So as previously mentioned, you were an acclaimed battle rap champion.
Yes.
To put it lightly.
Well, you got to be in competitions to be a champion. You know what I mean? you feel me? So just winning a lot of competitions kind of made me a champion. But I didn't really get into it for the battling part. It just was an aspect of being an MC.
So it was just like to get out there.
Yeah. I mean, when I started, it was really just the privilege of rapping. You didn't really think about the record deal part or, you know, doing videos and the boobs and the girls and the big cars and stuff like that. That wasn't really the motivation.
So what was your first battle like? Can you tell me about that?
My first battle. Wow, that's deep. If very, very first battle would be schoolyard battles. And I don't know if they count to make you a champion, but it definitely adds swagger.
It's experience. About it.
Definitely. So schoolyard battles in regards to being at CES in Los Angeles, a lot of battles on school. But when I first moved to the Valley at 13, that's when I had the first battle. Pacoima Boys and Girls Club, they had MC battle with all the best rappers in the Valley at the time. They had them all come to the Boys and Girls Club. I think it was around 50 or 60 rap artists that were in the competition. It was like maybe 500-600 people in the crowd because they filled the gym up. It was packed. And actually, one of the producers at the time told me about the battle. I was late to it. I showed up at the end. When I got there to the battle, I walked through the front doors, and they were about to announce the winners. And one of the judges saw that I was there, and he said, oh, we have one more guy, one more person. I went in, did my thing, and that was actually the first trophy I won battling at the Pacoima Boys and Girls Club. Crazy.
So your first battle was also your first trophy.
Yes.
That must have been a big boost.
It was a confident boost. $100 came with it at the time. $100 and a little gold trophy.
How come?
Couldn't tell me I wasn't doing anything.
What'd you spend the $100 on?
I had a best friend at the time. I'm sure it was just candy and soda. And, you know what I mean? Just,
so how old were you?
13.
I expected.
Yeah, 13. First. That led to my record deal at 14, though.
Winning wow, that was very young.
Yeah.
What did your parents think of all of it?
I don't think they took it really serious. They saw the success part of it. You know, it was always, as long as you go to college, you can do whatever you want during these years.
Did you go to college?
I went to Valley.
Oh.
Bang, bang.
Awesome. So at least they got something.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, by the time I was in college is when I signed my first deal with Interscope at 18. So once I start touring Japan and things, college was a back burner after that.
That's farther than most rappers I've heard of.
Yeah.
Going all the way to Japan.
Yeah. I was on Interscope with a DJ named Yutaka, who was like Japan's number one DJ at the time. And, you know, we did 3 tours in Japan.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. And like I said, you worked with Dr. Dre.
Yes.
Who is also a battle rapper. We had his mentor, Alonzo Williams, on last month in March.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he talked a lot about, you know, kind of molding Dre as far as battle rapping goes.
Yeah, now you got to think, Dre is the blueprint of hip hop. He's the king of hip hop as of right now today. So anybody who can claim any credit to have any input in his career is a legend themselves, for sure.
So, like, you know, so Alonzo is a legend.
Definitely.
You heard that, Alonzo? We got someone called you a legend on the show.
Supreme, baby. Co-signs.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so, like I said, the quote from the article, every battler has their own style.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe yours?
If I had to put it in a term, I would equate it to like a Gatling gun. You know how the ones who throws the big boulders to the castle, knocks out walls and starts knocking down gates and knock out whole rooms. I'm like a Gatling gun. You know what I mean? In a battle, I blank out, and it's really just trying to be an offensive weapon. You turn yourself into a tool at that point, at its highest level.
Okay. So for those who don't really understand battle rap, because most rappers are not coming up today via the battle rap scene. They're coming up more the SoundCloud scene, to put it lightly.
Of course.
Even though I love SoundCloud, I think it's a great platform.
Definitely.
It doesn't have the best reputation as far as rap goes.
I don't know why. You know what I mean?
I can give you a hint. Lil Pump.
Period. Okay.
6ix9ine, a.k.a. Pedo.
Right, right. They ruined it for everybody.
Basically, the creepos ruined it for everybody.
Makes sense.
The mumble rappers
right.
ruined it for everybody.
That's interesting. I always thought of SoundCloud as a really open platform that allows you to showcase your music to the public directly before all the, you know, hypocrisy and the politics come into play.
I know. And it is a great platform for hip-hop artists, for great hip-hop artists.
Definitely.
I'm on SoundCloud.
Right.
But unfortunately, those who gain mainstream success via SoundCloud are the ones that often make it so the mainstream is there for connecting that success with the platform.
Right, right, of course.
It's like YouTube. YouTube, the most popular thing on YouTube was, you know, cat videos and Fred.
Period.
So, at the time, so people just associated that.
Right, of course, of course.
And, you know, the bad stuff is easier to blame than the good. Than the nuanced good.
Yeah, bad stuff attracts more audiences.
Or the stuff that 9-year-olds even can enjoy.
Right.
The crazy colors or what, or the rah, rah,
rah, rah, rah. Right, right, right. Just yelling fire in a crowded building. You know what I mean? It's
crazy. Not even fire, because fire, it means good.
Right, right.
Spin fire.
Right, right, right. That's right.
They're more spitting garbage.
Are you talking about the mumble rappers of today? You have to really think... everything is an art form, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of the mumble rappers have mastered melodies and melodic sequences, and they've replaced wordplay with melodies, which is the difference. And I kind of blame that generation after Tupac, you know what I mean? Because there was a time where all these so-called really great rappers couldn't make a good hook to save their life, you know what I mean? So they're rapping all hard, but then the song concept and the hook wasn't something you can party and dance to. And I think the audience is kind of revolted against that, where a person can just mumble on the microphone now and make millions of dollars.
Or they're not even trying.
They don't have to.
They're just like, for example, Gucci Gang is just like, it's just the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, but people are buying it, so it must have some type of an appeal.
9-year-olds are buying it.
In like millions of them. Yeah, 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 yeah. No doubt. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so back to battle rapping.
Yes.
How would you describe battle rapping for those who don't really understand it?
Battle rapping is verbal workouts, the best way to say it. It at its best should be a display of wordplay, concepts. I never liked the rapping that didn't encourage your competition to rap. You know, I always like my person to be at their best. You know what I mean? I don't want to intimidate them with their nervous and stuttering and things like that. It should be an exchange of ideas at its highest level.
That's great. So, Mr. Battle Rap Champion.
Yes, yes.
We have a 30-second beat.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to spit a few bars?
I'd love to.
Okay.
What you working with over there, Mr. Producer? In the building, y'all. HOH, it's over here.
Yeah, thank you, Royalty Beats, for royalty-free beats, for giving
me
this thing.
You know?
Let's do this.
Let's see what we're working with out here. Beat game like. Okay, it's got a little speed to it. Got a little speed to it. Yeah, put a little spring to it. MICCIM. Looking on the microphone, you gotta see him. Uh-oh, wordplay, I spit phlegm. At these whack MCs, they cannot win. Uh-oh, it's like Timberland Tim knocking down trees. Whack MCs are like fleas. Oh, I thought it was 30 seconds. My bad. I was going to keep going. Let's get it.
No okay, worries. That was actually pretty good.
I was off the dome, y'all. My bad. I had to, you know, look around to get a little motivation popping. But
it's okay. Well, that was pretty good.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Now, could you tell us a bit about the role battle rap plays as part of the overall culture?
Right. Battle rap is the difference between like a UFC fighter and a boxer. You know what I mean? It's really, it gives a chance to really see how much the artist loves it. And it's really the heartbeat of the culture. You know, one of the four original elements of hip hop was battle rap. It wasn't just rapping, it was battle rap.
Yeah, I think there was a documentary about it called The Art of Rap.
Mm-hmm.
That Ice-T, I think it was Ice-T?
Yeah, it was Ice-T.
Good. Okay, good. Because I sometimes get Ice-T, Ice Cube kind of confused
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, even though they're related to each other, but
they
definitely.
Are?
Meaning like Ice-T gave Ice Cube his name.
Oh, oop, I didn't know that. I just thought that Ice was kind of the only similarity.
That's right, yeah.
But it was really, that's really interesting. I learned something new today.
Yeah, The Art of Rap, though, it really focused on, like I was talking about, the Cold Crush Brothers, Grandmaster Caz, a lot of those older freestyle rappers. They laid the foundation for what is the culture right now.
That's really cool. That's really interesting. Now, as many people know, there is a lot of depictions of battle rap in the mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
not just on the underground.
Right, of course.
I mean, for example, like I mentioned, got TV shows like Wildin' Out on MTV,
right,
which has a lot of great battle rappers on it, like Conceited
mm-hmm.
and Michael Blackson.
Okay.
They're really, really great battle rappers.
Right.
And we got Dropped a Mic on TNT, which is more celebrities trying,
mm-hmm.
like James Corden and the classic Glee.
Method Man and was running that, right?
You met Glee?
Method Man. I was talking about Method Man.
Oh, Method Man. Yeah. I love Method Man.
Yes, he's the host, I think, of Drop the Mic.
I thought that was James Corden.
Was it?
I think it was based on a segment from James Corden.
Okay, understood. Makes sense.
But then it turned into
those. The taxi where he was driving doing
the
sing-along.
No, that's a different segment.
That's another segment.
That's Carpool Karaoke.
So they have so much going on out there right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, but they're all pretty good. And he had Miss Elliott on Carpools. So.
But it's also a form of freestyling, though. They're giving everybody their own element so they can shine, showing off their freestyle skills. That's amazing.
Yeah, and besides the TV shows, we got movies depicting battle rap, and the two most notable examples, both involving Eminem, who is one of the best battle rappers of all time.
Of course.
We got the movie 8 Mile.
Right.
And we also recently got Bodied, which was executive produced by Eminem. It was directed by Joseph Kahn, and it starred, weirdly enough, a former Disney Channel dude named Calcum Worthy, who was a year out of a Disney show called Austin and Ally.
Wow. Look at that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Now he's on The Act on Hulu playing a murderer.
Wow. Look at that.
So the op-ed that I mentioned at the beginning of the show on DJ Booth, it blames the popularity of mainstream battle rap from the shows and the movies
right.
for hurting the art form of battle rap itself. According to it says, battle rap will never fail to reach an audience, but there will always be a ceiling for its success. Authentic battle rap will never fully coverage with its mainstream depictions because to do so would compromise its best qualities and stunt the growth it still needs to experience to overcome its own worst habits. In the meantime, the battle of perception versus reality in one of hip-hop's most overlooked communities will continue to frustrate those of us who care for it the most. As someone who is part of this community,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think of that statement?
I think it's a very profound analytical point of view. I do believe that there's a flip side to that coin. Because with all of the publicity from like the Drop the Mics and the different popular shows that are on national networks, I believe it adds a lot of attention that battle rap didn't have over the last few decades. You know what I mean? I do believe that obviously the original art form of battle rap has been altered, but I think it's for the best. Anytime you can make a form in a way where it can be palatable for more people, I think it's only to the benefit of that art form.
To the benefit?
Definitely.
And it did mention something about its own worst habits.
Right.
What habits?
See, with battle rap, our biggest issue, and I don't know if this is what they're referring to, but I know for a fact, battle rap lost its entertainment value.
And what was that entertainment value, and how did it lose it?
The entertainment value was the creativity of spontaneous wordplay. You know what I mean? Of being able to say a word and a person's wondering, what are they possibly going to rhyme with that word? And, you know, that spontaneous, really, you don't really know what's going to happen next type of energy that battle rap. To give you an example, I was in Rap Sheet Magazine's national battle They had it in 96 where pretty much 400 of the best freestyle rappers were all in a competition at the Roosevelt Hotel. During that time period, there was a distinction between a lot of rappers who had record deals and those who had street credibility. And it's kind of the debate we're having now between the authentic battle rapping and the style that's really more commercial and would be more acceptable and draw in more audiences. I want to make sure that our art form, we don't forget that this was a business about show and entertainment. You know what I mean? It wasn't just be so artistic that you left out the fan base and stuff. And I think we started to do that. And that's why this style of music, mumble rap and everything, is coming. But in order for battle rap to be big again, it's going to have to be entertaining too.
Okay. So for the last part of the show, before we get to the big announcement, we're going to take it a cappella and do a battle.
Okay.
So trigger warning, profanity, whatever, to the viewers at home. Thank God this is my last one. Let's pretend we're in a battle together.
Okay.
Supreme Inc. versus Redhead Shoddy.
Bang, bang.
So how would you start me off?
I'd be like, Supreme Inc. in the building. I ain't scared of nobody. Ripping the microphone with the redhead shawty.
Yeah, so I'm giving you full freedom to tear me apart, basically. To battle.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're awesome. You look amazing. You'd have to pick out a person's flaws and stuff like that. If a person had no flaws like you, I would just create a metaphor. Take you up in the sky, drop you to the moon. Serving the redhead shorty is my brand new tune. Make an anthem out of stamping them. Make you can't dance. And then you're looking at me glancing. You know what I mean? Like, you just be more visual as to what's going on in the room and make it entertaining.
Yeah, I think battle rap is like a visual.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of props.
Yeah, it's the movie scene. You want to try to make it like a movie script.
That's great. That explains why 8 Mile did so well.
Of course.
So thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure. Thank
Please
you for
check out
me.
Supreme Inc. wherever he is.
Yeah, supremeinc@gmail.com. Hitsoverhere@gmail.com. Send us in, y'all. Hitsoverhere is now Sony, baby. So we're unifying the hip-hop nation. But all the West, come holler at your boys.
Awesome. Thanks to everyone for tuning in to the season finale of For the Culture. It's such a great time doing the show this semester. This is about giving rap and hip-hop culture a voice and showing elements of the culture that rarely are seen in mainstream media. This is not about fame or money or attention. This is about elevating and expanding the culture, and I plan on doing just that. And since this is our last show on KPC Radio, I'd just like to let everybody know that For the Culture will be back by September 2019 as an independent podcast on SoundCloud. Follow us on Twitter for more information and updates @ForTheRapCulture. That is number 4, TheRapCulture. For the last time in the Pierce College KPC Radio Studio, this is Redhead Shoddy signing out. Peace!